we should look at it more from humans, right, beyond even media itself, right? So basically what happens on social media is a reflection of what happens in day-to-day life, right, and what happens in society. So media does basically amplifies it. The same way media amplifies bad behavior, it's also the same way media would also amplify good advice.
Hi! Hi everybody, and welcome to another episode on the Value Cafe podcast. Today is going to be a great day, Azisha. Thank you so much for joining last week's episode. I got your feedback. And for the people who asked questions, I'm definitely going to be replying all of you. So watch out, okay? I have someone who is a literal growth hacker in the house. His name is Olumide Adaramoye. Hi, Olumide. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Esther. I'm glad to be here.
Why are you not doing mellow, mellow, mellow? Okay, so do you want to tell us about more of what you do?
Okay, so I'm Olumide Adaramoye. I'm a growth hacker. And basically, I think what I do is basically I can be captured into, I look for users. I try to get users for the clients I work with, basically.
Okay. Because actually, you know, the term has been flying around a lot. There's nowhere, especially if you're on tech Twitter or business Twitter or startup world, you shall see growth hacking. And me, in my own head, as someone who is like invested in personal growth, I was like, is there now a new way to hack your own growth? Maybe you don't have to do the hard work of self-discovery or the hard work of this or hard work of that. Maybe you just hack it and somehow you just become this wholesome person overnight without doing the work. And also, do you want to get into details or?
Okay. So basically, growth hacking, right? So there's, growth hacking is basically a concept that was coined by someone called Sean Hellis, right? And he coined it early 2000s, and basically came from when he was able to pull off massive growth for the startup he worked with then, which was Believe Logney Inn, right? And he was able to pull off massive growth for them by using little innovative technical things that he called hacks, basically just technical innovations that we was able to leverage on to basically acquire new users for the startup, even compared to his counterparts and the competitors who had like large advertising budget and they were all over the billboards, all over the radio. He didn't have that budget, but with little technical innovations, he was able to still compete with them, gain a lot of market share. And I believe LogMeIn, the company he worked with, was ranked as the hit gaming startup then. So that's why he coined the word growth hacking. Basically, the concept of growth hacking is also coined on a very important framework, which is known as the Lean framework, which is the Build, Measure, and Learn framework. And with that framework, you can easily apply it also to your personal growth. Right? Ooh. So the Build, Measure, and Learn framework is, rather than you deciding to assume a lot of things about your personal growth, about how to get to your goals, right? Build, Measure, and Learn basically enables you to first create what we call, in startup, we call it minimum viable products, right? But for yourself, for your personal growth, you can call it maybe a minimum viable experience, whereby you are able to have a experience that mimics what would enable you to achieve whatever you want to achieve, right? You test multiple of those experiences, you test multiple of those activities and see which has the highest upside for you, right? You measure which has the highest upside. The one that has the highest upside, you basically leverage and double down on it, right? So that's the Build, Measure, and Learn. And the ones that do not have big upside for you, and you see they are not necessarily guaranteeing you the results you want, you can easily cut down on them, or you learn from them and you revise that to double down things that are giving you the better upside.
Okay, that makes sense. So for instance, I realized that binge watching on YouTube it's not going to be helping my ministry anytime. So well, it depends on what I'm watching, but yeah. You get what I mean.
Yeah.
And then, oh God, my series. And so I just, you know, I observe, I measure, I learn from it, and I'm like, oh, I need to cut down on this.
Yeah.
I need to do more of this other thing. Yeah. Maybe sleep more, right? Right?
Yeah. You need to tell tech bros that one too.
Please, let's not even start that one. And speaking of tech bros, like, it seems like a lot of them are in the mud these days. You know? Horrible bosses, hashtag, and everything.
Well, that's happening currently. And, Well, Zinc is not a phase, as many people term it, it's a phase within the industry whereby we're also basically growing and learning. And so while we have all able bosses now, it's not a phase, and very soon they will learn from their experiences, they will learn from their mistakes, and they will reset, and we'll have basically better experiences for both employers and employees.
Okay, I guess we can hold on to that hope, and maybe then we can now look back and be able to say, oh, if not for the whole exposure that happened and then the whole hashtag and people coming out to speak about their experiences and all of those things, those people might not have received a wake-up call to, like, you know, wake up and adjust and all of those things. Which now brings me to the whole social media thing and digital media in general, right? Like, do you really think it's that effective? I know there's a lot of pros, there's a lot of cons and anything, but is it not just... Because sometimes some people are of the school of thought that these people are just, like, jumping on the bandwagon and trying to, you know, activate certain people online and influence them to do these things, to maybe have some behavioral change and everything. And while it works, can we still... Is there a means that we, by which we can measure how effective it is, how... I mean, I can come online, take something, say, oh, I've changed my behavior, but is it sustainable?
So, as regards using media and how the role media has played in behavioral change, I think we should look at it more from humans, right, beyond even media itself, right? So, basically, what happens on social media is a reflection of what happens in day-to-day life, right, and what happens in society. So, media does basically amplifies it. The same way media amplifies bad behavior, it's also the same way media would also amplify good advice, right? So, me advising a friend of mine and telling counseling a friend of mine to, like, basically change their behavior, if I do that on a large scale online, I can also use that to influence a lot of people online. Take, for example, there's a media sensation currently, a medical media sensation, who is Dr. Apoko Doctor, right?
Yeah.
And we've all come to know him as the Apoko Doctor, as the person that tells everybody to drink water, right?
Yeah.
Everybody knows that you're meant to drink water, but it seems as though we fail to do that simple behavior, we fail to take that simple action because we don't have a sort of constant reminder for us to do that. And what Apoko Doctor basically do is leverage media, leverage entertainment, leverage media to basically pass across his message in different forms such that it sticks to you, both in subs, in funny videos, in tweets, in jabs, right? It just sticks to you. And when you maybe see his tweets, right, basically you know that, okay, you have to go and drink water. Or if you basically, there's also, if you look in the mirror and shout and maybe say drink water or say water 3 times, Apoko Doctor will appear to you. That's an example of the power of media, right, in helping people to change their behavior. Another example would be in the last 5 years, right, there have been proliferation of different savings apps, right, from CarryWise to PiggyVest to Money Africa. And what that has helped us to do is to help more Nigerians, especially young Nigerians, to change their approach towards money, to change their approach towards money, their financial intelligence has improved. And also there's a sort of savings culture that Nigerians now have. Before 5 years, all what we do was, 5 years, 10 years, all what we do was maybe save in bank and our money depreciating. But now the average Nigerian knows that if he saves his money in maybe a bank, his money may end up depreciating compared to if he saves it in a treasury bill that has similar rates to the inflation rate, or if it saves it in maybe a Rice Vest stock or in the
piggy vest,
right? And now we even have the jokes of people saying, oh, women have money in their piggy
just
vest. Just check their piggy vest, right? Women have a lot of money in their piggy vest, women have a lot of money in their carry wise. So all these products with their media campaigns, with their marketing campaigns, have also helped to shape cultures, right? CarryWise has shaped the media culture, the savings culture. We can say Apoko Doctor has also shaped healthy habits of culture.
Oh, okay, that's true. That makes sense. But then, I like to believe that even if they might not be able to capture everybody, because some people's argument is like, oh, what about people who are not on social media, people who are not tech savvy, who are this and then they are left out? And we're like, well, we like to assume that we ourselves are on these platforms. We are not, like, in isolation. We are not reclusive. So it's a ripple effect kind of thing.
True.
You see this thing on social media, you apply it to your own life, and then you share it with your own community, to your grandma that is not online, even though a lot of them are online.
Yeah.
And you can also start your own scare tactics, just send it to them on their WhatsApp or their WhatsApp and say, if you don't drink water now, you will faint in five days. And they send it to all their, so all of those things, of course, word of mouth and everything like that. And I love what you said about that media actually amplifies. It amplifies, whether it's something that is good, whether it's something that is bad, media amplifies. It has to be like, it's a reflection of society. It's a quote like, okay, that is more for art, like, art is a reflection of society. And then in this context, you can say, oh, media is a reflection of society.
Yeah.
Even though maybe it works hand in hand, we get stuff off media and then we get it and then it's just a cycle. Thank you very much for the English show. Sorry. So then how do you think that someone can be more, say, deliberate? Before I go to the being deliberate and intentional question, I'm going to come back to that. Can you give like maybe a perfect example, or maybe one major example for yourself, how media has influenced you to make a major behavioral change? Maybe it was something you started doing, maybe how you got into your line as a growth hacker, because I think you have a health background, right?
Yeah, I do.
Was it media? Or whatever it is, but however it is, what example do you have?
Okay. So I think media actually played a lot of role, and a major role, especially in my own career shift, right? I remember quite when I was earlier when I was in university, right? I have been very much fascinated with advertising, right? So I love when brands have like brilliant advertising and are able to capture my attention for 15 seconds, 30 seconds before I switch it to the next channel, right? So basically, the way it works is you have a TV, maybe a soap opera is going on, then you see an ad and you're like, should I switch or I should stay, right? But I love how brands have been able to like capture my attention for that 15 to 30 seconds, and so it got me more curious, and I wanted to know, how did this work? Like, who are the people behind this? How do they do this? How are you able to like keep people attracted? How are they able to like come up with this different content? And that got me interested very much in marketing, right? So I remember in 200 level, I did a lot of research as regards marketing. I'm just like reading up on different marketing, and from there I got to know more marketing people, and I came to realize that a lot of these marketers, like, they didn't necessarily start by going to a marketing school or going to doing the BS in marketing. Most of them in the Nigerian tech space right now, in the African tech space, most of them are like biochemistry majors. They are like physiotherapy majors, physiology majors, psychology majors. And so that like inspired me that, oh, I could actually like make a switch, right, to marketing, to make a switch in marketing and goods without having to be so much concerned about the fact that I'm from a health background. And why not, with even marketing, I can still have very much good influence with health, right? So media basically exposed me to that reality, right, and gave me the confidence and the inspiration to like go for it and just like double down on marketing and goods. And now, if you mention my name, most likely people would relate more to that of goods than that who is into medicine or into health, right? And one more example of what media has helped like to shape my own habits, I think, would be in my relationships with people, right? So through media, like, largely I've been very, very much of an introverted person, right? And our concept of introvertedness in the past has always been about, oh, someone is shy, right? But through media and through exposure to different, also other introverted people, right, you realize that most of these guys that do skits, that are content creators and influencers, if you go and meet them, you realize that they're actually very, very much introverted people, right? But they are still able to channel their creativity and their energy, right, into what they do. And so that has also like inspired me to move out of my shell and out of my cocoon, to be more, to channel my energy to things I love, to channel my energy to things that I actually find very good and find passion in, basically. So I think those two ways, my career and also my personality, media has largely shaped those two.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you were introverted. And what was that? Because, I mean, so fun fact, Olumide and I are on Volunteers of Africa together. Okay, yeah, shout out to VHA. And we know that sometimes when the whole place is just cool and quiet. And, you know, Timmy, shout out to Timmy Biggie of VHA. And then people are not really responding. Olumide to come and join Matt and just I'm trying to, when Olumide wants to do a birthday shout out, you'll be like, I could always imagine, I always read his birthday shout outs in my head, with his voice in my head, because I can just imagine him on stage being a hype master and saying, ha, this and that, okay. Or kiniko, with all those, I'm like, kilo shelling now, and all of those things. But then, I mean, we're able to see that with that, we can safely express ourselves without literally having to be in people's faces, though we know that some people also abuse it all of that. That's when we have nonsense trolls and bullies who can never say what they are saying online in person to the person that they are attacking, but they are just doing keypad warriors and all of those things. So which brings me to the question I wanted to ask earlier about how can you then be deliberate about curating the kind of media that you consume and that you also put out, especially when you are trying, when you are thinking of, you know, improving yourselves personally and also as regards your career.
Okay, so as regards you being deliberate about media you push, right? There's a concept that everybody now has been very, very much active about, which is basically personal branding, right? And I think I just want to mention this as a way of explaining what personal branding is. Most people feel personal branding is me putting all of myself on media or social media. However, personal branding may not necessarily be that, right? Personal branding is basically projecting, right? Projecting what you want people to perceive of you on socials or whatever media it is, right? So, to be deliberate about what you put on social media starts from knowing what exactly you want people to perceive you as, right? Who exactly do you want people to perceive you as? Do you want people to perceive you as Esther the Value Adder, or you want people to perceive you as, okay, Dad of Goods, or you want people to perceive you as, okay, maybe Dad the Funny Guy, right? I don't want people to, even I have different personalities and different like expressions to me. My focus and my goals are to, be known as a good person, to be known as a good professional, a top good talent. And so that has influenced what I put out on social media, right? So the goal I have, right, what I want people to perceive me as, has firstly influenced what I put out on social media, right? And so second is now knowing what we call the know, like, trust factor, right? So now you have a goal of what you want people to perceive me as, right? So for them to be able to perceive me as that, for them to cling to you, or for them to like be attracted to you, they have to know you, they have to like you, and they have to trust you, right? And so your content or whatever you put out should be tilted towards them knowing more about you based on the perception you want them to have about you, them liking you, and also them trusting you. Then the way to do that basically is through, number one, giving them information, educating them on what you do, and also entertaining them in line with what you do, right? So I believe with first, you having setting your goals of what you want people to perceive you as. Second, knowing that for them to be able to perceive you as that, they have to know, like, and trust you. And then third is creating content as regards informing them on what you do, right? Educating them about around things you do or things that you want, the value you create for them, right? And the third, which is entertaining them. I believe with those three, right, leveraging those three, you'll be able to like create your own social media towards whatever you want to achieve.
Push out there, yeah. How about what you also consume?
Okay, so I think for what you consume, right, it also follows the same pattern, right? Largely, you want to know what do you want to gain from media, right? So for me, naturally, my focus on media is, number one, to gain new knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. To get informed about different things that are happening, especially around my space. And number three, to get educated. And so because of that, the people I follow, the things I follow on social media are basically related to things as regards growth, as regards media, as regards digital marketing, as regards startup, as regards also largely entertainment and the crypto space, the web 3.0 space, right? And so the people I follow, the engagement I do, right, basically what I, as you all know, computer is garbage in, garbage out. The same with social media also. What you put out basically reciprocates to what you get, right? So what you engage in, when you engage more towards particular things, if you engage towards good things, more tech startup things, the algorithm basically works in your favor and brings similar content to you. But if you go ahead to engage in things like just random skits, right, the algorithm also works in your favor and bring back similar things. So largely, knowing what you want to gain from social media, like, will help you in what you consume.
That makes sense. And if you want a mix of both, just engage. Because sometimes not everything you're serious. You just watch the videos. Like me now, my YouTube now, they know that. Apart from all the TED Talks and the, you know, Trevor Noah and this and that and, you know, news and information and all of those things I'm trying to learn around health, tech, civic engagement. I also, they also bring me cat and dog videos and, okay. and some, yeah, some comedy stuff and all of this because you have to, you have to be cooling down small and all, but of course, being deliberate about clean fun, clean humor because, I mean, there are so many different things out there, but that's topic for another. Okay, so yeah, we basically just netted out on. I think today we've talked from growth hacking to a bit of personal branding. Like the trust. I'm actually going to go sit down, you know, build, measure, and learn from my life. I just learned something, so I'm going to be throwing it around. Okay, just small thing like this. Esther, how fun? In this life, you know, you need to build, you need to measure, you need to learn, and all of this. So I'll see around that. And if you are less concerned about putting anything out as your personal, I think it's okay to be, because I also don't want to push the perception that you have to be one person that is like all of those things and all of that. So, Olumide, thank you very much for coming on the show today. And yes, before you sign out, there's one thing I love asking my guests, which is, why are you scared? Which is, so you are into a lot of all of these things, growth hacking, this and that. If nobody would remember you for anything at all, or if nobody remembers anything from this conversation that we just had, what would you want them to remember about you from this conversation, or maybe generally about Olumide Adaranwe?
Okay, so what I want people to remember about Olumide Adaranwe largely is Olumide is an example, right, of what determination, right, and consistency, right, and perseverance can get you, right? So all through my journey, I think those are like the three different things that have helped me all through. So for moving from making the switch from medical field to growth, right, and also even doing growth right now, I think determination, consistency, and perseverance has been very helpful.
Thank you very much. So determination, consistency, and perseverance, core values are the pillars of growth. There's no way I was not going to mention the growth. So thank you so much, Olumide Adaranwe, aka Dara of Growth.
Yeah.
AKA you, what else?
Dara Onikum.
And Dara what?
Onikum.
I don't understand. Where's the
Onikum? There's only dripping now.
Hey. Okay. Dara Honeycomb. Dara what again?
Dara Money.
Dara,
that one has come to stay, so I can't see when I
came in for the recording, I was looking at that. I said, Dara, you already look rich. You were saying, but now thank God you have used your own mouth to confirm it.
The money should come.
I thought the money has come.
No, not yet. The money should come.
It's growing. All right, thank you so much for coming on the show today, and thank you guys for listening in. I hope you gain one or two or three or four, five trend values from today's episode. Do well to invite your friends. Do well to go over it and listen again. You can also join the conversation as you are listening by using the hashtag CVCpod. You can tweet at us, or, you know, send a DM or share on Instagram. You can tag us at The Value Cafe on all platforms. You can also send a mail to thevaluecafepod@gmail.com. If you also have any inquiries, you would love to be on the show, or you have someone or a topic you want to suggest, you have feedback, or you just want to ask for my account number, you can send that to me on any of these platforms. I remain Esther Oponye, aka The Value Ada, and thank you so much for joining this episode. See you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye, guys.